Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell. And damn it, I still love professional wrestling. Still on the Mania high. Okay, straight into it. This is the Raw After Mania show, one of the biggest nights, Monday nights of the year in the wrestling calendar. What's going to go down after the last two nights of action that we've seen and talked about early this week? To find out with me, not Ross Bell. He is away doing, I don't know what, something else. But no fear. Don't worry. We've got a more than suitable replacement. It's Mr. Ali Thompson.
Thanks for having me. I apologise to all the Ross fans out there, but I will do my best to live up
those
to...
goddamn Ross crybabies.
We know what they're like. They'll just take over the show. So
there you go.
We need to.
I'll be out. We'll both be out. I mean, Ross has run the show on his own soon. That's it.
I'm a Ross Bell guy.
I'll get that shirt. I'm getting that shirt made. That shirt's going on. Right. We're still in Philadelphia because it's the Mania swing. The crowd straight away, crowd sold out. They had to shrink the stage down again, go to a really minimized set because they wanted to get more seats in. Always a good thing when that happens. It's happened a lot recently. I like the slim down sets. I think it makes it look more intimate, but still makes it look a big deal. And I love the fact that they're doing it because we want to get more people in and more people to buy our tickets. It's only a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm glad Triple H, Paul, highlighted it as well. He's like you are that, maniacs that we've had to shrink down. I'm sorry, we can't give you a proper screen, to watch on. And I think, yeah, it just feels, it feels more, less sports entertainment, more wrestling.
Yeah,
it feels more, obviously we're still getting such great production, and all that's there, but, it just feels more, most wrestling fans. I think America get it more than us, because we don't really have, an independent scene as much, We've definitely got shows, but, over in America, obviously, independents are so popular, in mm-hmm. the build-up. So all these guys are used to having, more scaled-down sets and just let it be about the performers and the stories. And yeah, I really like it. Don't get me wrong. I think you should always go big come the Mania shows. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But Raw and SmackDown and even some of the PLEs, let's see more of this. Get more fans in the build. More fans mean more tickets. And really, ultimately, should mean cheaper tickets, again, getting every man there.
I did see online over the weekend a fair bit of talk negatively about the Mania set. I liked it. I don't think it had to be the big thing it was. At the end of the day, you're not watching WrestleMania for the set. I don't get me wrong. There was something about the roller coaster one with the big globe. Obviously, the one with the ring on the canopy above the ring. It's all pomp and circumstance. It's a very Vince McMahon presentation, but sometimes less is more. And they got their LEDs in, they got the big screens, they got the XL, they got WrestleMania. I thought the set was really good. I thought that it all worked. It looked spectacular on Sunday night, definitely.
I can't. So this is where I hate wrestling fans. This is the part of the wrestling fans I don't like. I'm watching wrestling for what's happening in the ring, backstage, mm-hmm. sort of thing. Again, a bit like spoilers and that. I don't genuinely don't really follow Mania. I was shocked by Punk coming back. I hadn't read it.
I think again, everyone was.
I couldn't care less about what any stage looks like, bar the big fist at SmackDown. That's about the only one I could really tell you. What's happened. I like the shorter ramps. That's the one thing I'll say.
Hashtag
I don't like
bring long, back the fist.
I don't like a long ramp. That's about the only thing I could ever tell you about any anything. I feel once you get too long a ramp, it gets a bit, it's a bit boring. But yeah, it's just something that doesn't, I get the, it looks great on posters and the camera shots from above, but does it really matter if we're getting a good product? And ultimately, I feel that's a bit AEW-ish if we're going down that way. Let's, put on something like fireworks. Let's just, who cares? I just want to see good matches and good stories.
Remember when a few years ago when they stopped doing pyro for financial reasons and there was I can't believe it. It's not the same product. Really? Okay, the product wasn't incredible back then, but can you imagine now, we're on the hottest streak that we've been on for years, that the global response to WrestleMania, the global feedback, the global ranking has been stunning, huge. Can you imagine anyone right now going, but they didn't have pyro?
But see, for again, Pyro's another thing. Like, Pyro should have only really been for like a select few superstars to make it special. Like Austin never needed Pyro. Like, biggest superstar there's ever been. Like, he got the glass shutter. But even then, by the end of it, it was just the sound of glass shutter. There wasn't really a glass shutter. And...
Oh, there was not one bit of glass to be seen.
Yeah, like, I just feel like, do you want, like, could you have done with Pyro on Sunday? Possibly. But then you wouldn't have got all the afters with all the good guys in the thing.
Yeah,
But,
I'd say I have no issue with Pyro. I have no issue when it wasn't there. Like, they don't overuse it. I still think they are quite select with it, and it does make the guys that get it seem that little bit bigger, because they've got that, you know, whether their theme tune has a point where the pyro works, like Edge used to have that with Becalingus. Yes. They've got certain points, but I think, yeah, it's one that it will add to the presentation, and the way that WWE appears to be going in the production at angle now, and they've completely overhauled how they're presenting the show to us. That's just a pyro is a small part. They've got obviously the 8K cameras are coming back in. They've got new graphics. It all just feels very overhauled and almost like this is what we want to do for years, but we've never been allowed. And it's almost like the shackles are off. They're out of the basement. They are now riding free and they can do what they want.
Yeah, I can see a massive TKO influence now as well. Like, you can see how they're part of like the UFC setup. And
I think there is some conversations in regards to...
Because
UFC are a hugely, incredibly presented organization. You know, Dana White's got that in him that he knows how to promote what he does, and WWE could absolutely learn from that. And they got the new guy that Triple H spoke about at this press conference on Sunday as well, who essentially sounds like he's taking Kevin Dunn's job.
Yeah,
and he's already doing it much better.
The way things are just falling on, even in this one as well, which we'll come on to with after Rhea's. But just the camera angles and the segment, mm-hmm. it's I can't even say it's cinema, because it's better than cinema. It's like,
I've
never seen anything like this before. It's like, it's so fluid, it's unbelievable.
Right, let's get into it. Monday Night Raw from Philadelphia. Only one place to start, and that is, of course, Paul Levesque coming out to start the show, introducing the new undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Cody Rhodes. Still, let's talk about the rename of the belt. Is it going to be Universal still? Just WWE Champion? Sometimes they seem to announce it as WWE Champion. Other times it's still Universal. So I don't know if they're just, this is what it's going to be now. Because I don't like Universal. I hate the term Universal Champion. WWE Champion is fine.
Again, it's the only problem having the two main titles is because you need to try and distinguish. Because you don't want to call it the Raw title and the SmackDown title.
Yeah, I mean, WWE Champion and World Champion, they've had that before.
The World Heavyweight title.
That's fine.
I like even Heavyweight. You don't really want Heavyweight put in there, because then you're limited.
Yeah,
although
the downside is you've got the WWE logo on the World Heavyweight title. So even though it is a WWE title, you don't call it a WWE World Heavyweight title. It's just World, but you've still got the WWE. It's other than that. It's a little thing. It's all aesthetic. I do wonder if they're going to change the belt design at some point. Maybe
Cody
took a refresh.
Cody alluded to it, didn't he? He said
he's been talking about Winged Eagle returns for some time now. And I was in the background there. I'm a Winged Eagle mark. Like, that's the belt for me.
It's everybody's belt, isn't it? If you ask wrestling fans, especially of our age, that's the belt. Like, I didn't like the small belt from the 80s. You know, the Hogan one. That was, I don't like that. And with the size of guys nowadays as well, you couldn't have it. And I don't like the. I mean, well, come on, it's completely different, obviously. But even when Priest and Rhea held their titles together, like, they're just too similar.
I would like to see some individuality to it, and I get the equality of the women's is the world, and the world is the women's, and it's not like the men's have better belts. They are both the same, just different colors. I like the point of that is to say they are equal, they are on the same level. But sometimes individuality doesn't mean one's better than the other. It just means they're different.
Different, yeah.
I'm not saying butterflies on the women's one. Obviously, I'm not going back to those days. Far from it. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think it could be one of those things that if Cody's got a long reign ahead of him, they might change it at some point. They can sell an updated Winged Eagle one for $400 and make loads of money off that. So,
yeah, absolutely. Imagine how many Cody crybabies are going to buy that title.
Do you see, they shifted over $1 million worth of Cody merchandise alone this weekend at Mania.
Yeah.
That's Skip. Incredible. That is staggering.
I was listening to Busted Open, so sorry to steal your content, Dave LeGreco. But obviously with Triple H, like, introducing him as his champion in his era here, it's literally, he is Vince McMahon's Hulk Hogan. Like, this is, like, that's how high up he is, that big a star. He is the Hogan of 1984.
When Vince McMahon started this new era of professional wrestling, sports entertainment, even as it was then, Hogan was the hand-picked guy to lead that charge.
Yeah.
Paul Levesque is creating his new era. Well, he says not his, but everyone's era. Cody Rhodes is the guy. Cody Rhodes is their Steve Austin, their Rock. Yeah. Their Triple H from 2000. Their Hogan, their Austin. He is all of those people. He is the great... And more to what, he comes across at the start. It doesn't feel like it's more than he should have. He looks every bit the star they present him as.
Yeah, I used to hate the suit, but now it's just him. You know, it's like it's not like he's even trying. You know, it's like everywhere he goes, and obviously he's got some sort of special suit because he can move in those suits as well. Mm. It doesn't bother me when he does interferences in them as well. It's just he comes across, he speaks like a star. I can't be any more of a Cody Rhodes mark in my life.
It's such an opposite to Dusty, because obviously Dusty was son of a plumber, the American dream, you know, if you will, and it was like tank top and boots and jeans, and that was Dusty. And obviously Dustin Rhodes has had many incarnations throughout his career, whereas Cody, since All In, and then obviously the formation of AEW, Cody has been the exact opposite of Cody, of Dusty Rhodes. There's no work boots, there's no jeans, there's no tank top. It's smart, three-piece suits, timepieces, the whole works. And it completely works for him. Works so much for him.
When he left WWE and went to he was literally that suit from day one on the Indies. He just said he had to be different. He couldn't go in. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to be, if he was commanding money as being the WWE guy, he wanted to make sure that he was given back. And to I don't think fans can really highlight enough. Like, Cody Rhodes has almost single-handedly saved wrestling. Like,
for all of the Rock's heel final boss stuff at making wrestling cool again, and he has helped. He brought Oz the product. It wouldn't have been there, absolutely. And the final boss character, as short-lived as it has been, because he's gone away, it seems now, was a breath of fresh air like we never thought he still had in him. But Cody Rhodes has got everyone. For fuck's sake, Cody Rhodes had people choosing him over The Rock. Rock versus Roman was the match that everyone wanted for years. And even when he first came out on SmackDown, before we knew all of the backstage stuff and all of the, I want to save WrestleMania and Cody being pushed out, we initially, everyone was like, Rock and Roman? Oh my God, this is the one. For a moment, they forgot about Cody.
Yep.
But then it was like, that's not fair on Cody, because we actually like him. And if you can get someone booing The Rock in this day and age still, you've got something about you.
And then go back, for he left WWE, made indies in America cool again.
Mm-hmm.
Made a bet, he made a £10,000 bet, $10,000 bet with Dave Meltzer, that they could sell out a stadium.
All just because Meltzer said they'll never sell out 10,000 in an arena for an indie show. And it was literally, I'll take that on.
Yep.
And he did it. And he did it on his name.
Yeah, which
at that point, the Bucks were nobodies. No disrespect, but mainstream they weren't. Omega was known, but he wasn't a mainstream guy. Cody Rhodes sold out All In on the back of his name as the NWA World Champion.
Yeah, and then AEW as well. That is on him and Jericho are the reason AEW really started. You know, Jericho's name coming in kind of added that credibility, having the big name, but again, it's built on Cody. Fair play the Bucks as well. Give the Bucks and Kenny credit, but that was built on, again, Cody and Tony taking
it. Was. And he left that safe haven where he could do, he was getting booed, but he'd turn it around. He's good enough. He was safe. He never had to worry about anything. He could work when he wanted, didn't want to work, whatever. He thought, no, I'm leaving that. Whether it be that he always had a dream of being WWE champion, or whether it was, I want to do what my dad couldn't, whatever the reason for it, shoot reason. He left safety to go back to a company that he had no control in. He had no stroke. He had no political allies, really, because everyone believed him and Triple H had the issue because of the throne smashing. Cody had no backing other than Vince McMahon saying, I want you back. Come home. I'm going to fly down to you and I'm going to talk to you and I want to bring you back. And that was a massive gamble he took. And that was only 3 years ago.
I know. And then getting injured so soon as well.
Yeah.
I think performing the way he did in that Hell in a Cell match is probably definitely like added his credibility backstage with Triple H and that.
I think the fans as well. The fans like to see, because he's a WWF guy. Like, you think he came in the early 2000s. So he started in the WWE. We saw him grow up. Then he went away, but he stayed relevant. He's come home. He's worked and he's all. Did you see he tweeted out his schedule for the next month? He's working literally almost every single night at the moment. He's doing Raw, SmackDown every week. He's got the European tour coming up. Because right now, there isn't a brand affiliation because he's the champ. They haven't decided what brand he's on yet. He is working pretty much every night for the next month.
Yeah, he's all in. I mean, I think he said it himself. He's like, he wants the next 7 years to be full on and then look at kind of doing the backseat. I think, am I right? He's got a kid. Yeah, he does. I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have, yeah. I think his daughter, I think it's a daughter he's got. I'm sure she's three. But he says by 10, he doesn't want to be on the road full time. That's fair. A pinnacle point of her life, and he wants to then be dad.
Well, on Sunday, we were watching, as the match was finished, and it was the celebration of him and Paul Levesque. And I said to the people who were with us, I wonder if Cody's being groomed to one day kind of take over, to kind of, he'll be there, if he keeps it going, he'll never leave that company. And he's got the ability where he could run things. Whether Triple H is forced out with all the stuff going on, or whether he survives all this and he goes on for years and years, and then one day Triple H steps away, Cody Rhodes is there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's already got his own, school. I know a lot of them do, but he's got his Nightmare Factory. So he's already doing coaching, all coming up. So, even if he doesn't, take over, say, Raw and SmackDown, you can still see him taking over. I mean, I do think Punk will be the next guy to run NXT.
Can you imagine 20 years, 10, 15, 20 years now, we could have CM Punk and Cody Rhodes running
and
WWE.
And Randy Orton is the free.
And Randy Orton. What is going on? That is...
Who would have said that 10 years ago?
Jesus Christ, that's insane. But anyway, we've got on to Raw now, because we haven't even started that, really. Cody came out. Triple H said that he got a call a couple of hours after Mania from the guys in production. They wanted to put a video together for him. They said, so we've got a big screen. We've got some bootleg monitors we can show on. Really, really good video. Cody was crying. It's, the Rhodes can cry. The Rhodes can definitely cry.
Definitely can.
Triple H left and a big hug. And then it was down to Cody. He started to talk. And then we had an unannounced interruption from the literal people's champion, The Rock.
Yeah, this got weird.
So he came out and said no fireworks, no spilled blood. He just wants to give Cody his flowers. He said he spoke about Mama Rhodes, and Mama Rhodes is proud of Cody, as is his daddy in heaven. And then he said, the belt looks good. I've never had that belt. I've had all the belts. I've never held that one. Can I hold your belt for a minute? And Cody's like, all right, but only if I hold your belt. And this is really weird now. So they swap belts as the crowd hilariously chanted, "This is awkward," because it really was awkward. Yeah. So strange. They swap belts back, and then Roxy has to go away for a little while, which we all knew anyway. But when he comes back, he's coming back for Cody, whether he's the champion or not. Then he said that Cody beat Roman in the middle of the ring, 1-2-3. But 24 hours before that, Rock pinned Cody in the middle of the ring, 1-2-3. So there's your match set up.
Yep.
And lastly, while Cody's story with Roman is over, the Rock story with Cody has only just begun. Then the weird bit, which will go somewhere, obviously, we'll pay off somewhere down the line. Rock handed Cody something, saying he didn't even have to open his hand to know what it was, and then said to Cody, "Don't you ever break my heart again." What do we think?
I don't know. What I would have said, had we not heard about the watch and the press conference stuff, I could have seen it being something like the watch. But obviously that was announced at the press conference, so it was already out there. What I like about it, I don't know, I have no clue what it is. I've got a feeling that, I don't know, something makes me think it's like a Hall of Fame ring or something like that, but I don't know if there's a story behind that, but it's one of those, the fact that what's great about it, this was the only part of the Rock segment that I actually liked, was we can speculate wildly. You know, it's, this will be until, I'm guessing we don't find out what this is until SummerSlam time or whenever we get the Cody Rock.
Oh, yeah, realistically, you know, yes. This is a year-long mystery here.
Yeah, it's good, and it'll be great because you're going to have fans arguing over it. You know, like even I like alluded to you, remember, about that it could be the ring, it could be MGF. But it just gets that excitement, you know, going. And I mean, this is what, and this was the only part of the Rock coming out that I actually enjoyed. Because
it was a very long opening segment. It went about 45 minutes. That's a long start to a hot show.
No break.
It was commercial free the first hour as well. So I think when you've got a show which is so anticipating, the crowd are really hot for, having this kind of long segment, I don't think helps, because it just went on. And they're magnetic and they get you in. So you listen, you're intent, you're invested in, because you like both of them hearing to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But you think, okay, can we get this going now? Like, where's this going to end? What are we ending on? Sort of thing is a good. And yeah, but that was it. They kind of shook hands. Cody put whatever it was in his pocket and looked very agitated. And The Rock walks off. And that's him off into the sunset for the next 6, 8, 12 months.
Cody's facials were tremendous when he received whatever it was. Like, he knew right away, like, as Rock says, you don't even need to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The facials at the time, it kind of really set him off. You know, at first, it's like, is he angry? Is he upset? It's like, it was just tremendous. Like, it was probably the best facials I've seen from Cody. Normally, he's still quite smiley and happy through it all, but yeah, it was just, he sold it so well. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's like, we've had 3 years of the Bloodline, and it's just, this is still carrying on. It's just, they're still, you know, it's so open-ended. And even like the Roman put out a tweet and a video today as well, or Monday, saying we mourn, but we go, you know. And it was just like, even like Roman never tweets, and to come out with that instead, it was, again, it's just perfect. Like, you know, you're just, again, it's professional wrestling, damn it. I love it.
I know. Okay, first match of the evening, we finally get there. Shinsuke Nakamura taking on a debuting NXT champion, Ilya Dragunov. I love this because I think Ilya Dragunov is an absolute machine and could do great things on the main roster. The match, I thought, was good. It was quite short, less than 5 minutes, but it did what it needed to. And also, they revealed that Dragunov will be eligible for the upcoming draft, which starts on the 26th of April on SmackDown. What do you think of Dragunov's debut?
Yeah, it was shorter than I'd want, but again, it's just that impact, isn't it? They just wanted to make an impact with him, get him on screen, and Shinsuke's been fairly good over the last 6 months with the, you know, they kind of built a nice heel character, so it was just to give him that win. Like, Shinsuke's kind of Teflon, isn't he? So it doesn't really matter. Brings him out, gets his name, announcing that he'd be in the draft, even though everybody's technically eligible for the draft, so I don't know why they had to specify that, but I think they've done that because I'd imagine he is getting called up and he's going to have to drop the title. Maybe even see him drop the title in the next couple of weeks.
If Sammy's eligible for it, then clearly he's coming up. There's no doubt about that at all. It's just a case of what you do with him, really.
This always seems to be the problem when you bring people up, especially when you're bringing a champion up, because you feel if you're a champion at NXT, like, you can't just put him into a meaningless match. He needs to come up to a, not almost like a, even if it was like the secondary title sort of thing, but can you really do that so soon? I don't know. I'm trying to think, who, don't really want to put him against Logan Paul. Who's the Intercontinental? Sammy. So again, it's a tough one. Unfortunately, again, I don't like the draft coming just before pay-per-view or PLE as well. It's a bit infuriating because it can get a bit muddled, but
a little bit, yeah.
Again, I'm just trusting it's a new era, that they know what they're doing. He's not going to get lost in the shuffle. Maybe we get just a Nakamura rivalry. Like, so if he gets drafted to somewhere and Nakamura's there, Nakamura ends up attacking him. Maybe he goes and attacks him at NXT, costs him the title, mm-hmm. and that's what brings him up. At least it gives him some sort of story to just settle in and then see where he goes down the line.
Right, Judgment Day promo now. All individual entrances, which took some time. On the plus side, Damian Priest looked like a star. The presentation's already there with him. As you mentioned briefly, Rhea and Priest had their belts up, looking very identical, the belts. and then we had R-Truth show up. This was great. This was... I don't know how many times you can do the same joke and it still lands. It's incredible. He said he brought the belt home to the Judgment Day. They argued this, so this brought the Miz out. Felt bad for Miz because he got the flattest reaction like so far. And it's like, Miz is really good, but I don't really know what else you do with Miz now. Like, he's turned face and heel so many times. He is kind of Teflon, but he's never going to be anything more than this now, really.
Yeah, I think this is him now, unless you would have to go like really, really big heel now to get anything. If you wanted to be credible, like if you wanted to make him as like a heel challenger to like Cody or something. But I don't know. I think he's probably quite content in this role as well now. You know,
yeah, I think so.
He's obviously him, and he's got a beautiful wife, he's got lovely kids. He's been in WWE for so long, which I don't think even he probably expected when he first came in, you know, with all the tribulations he had. And he's still, like, as a character, Miz still cracks me up constantly. He's just the ultimate professional. I love hearing him talk outside of the ring, outside of when he's just Mike, and how he never says no, whatever the company asks him to do. You know, you can see him being a, maybe not a commentator because he's not kind of got, but he'll have a role in WWE for life.
Absolutely.
He's one of them, and I'm glad he gets moments like this where I know the reaction was quite flat, but I bet he's just having a ball with R-Truth just now. And and then obviously, like you didn't mention it, but we get the partner that they can't see, which was tremendous build up.
Obviously, the entire arena were hip to this in me. They knew what was coming. I love the thing. Oh, it's little Jimmy, and it's cute. But everyone can see this coming. It's not a bad thing. Sometimes predictability is not. It's not a bad thing at all because you build yourself up for it. You want to react to what you think you're going to see, and then when you do get that, you pop even more because you've built that up in your head. And it's just Cena runs out, gets the hot tag, 15 knuckle shuffle, triple attitude adjustment. It was such a house show match, but it was exactly what Cena does at this point in his career. Now it was great. Love this.
Perfect. The only thing I will say, and we alluded to it, I think it was on the review show, the Judgment Day just need to dissolve. Like, this is the best faction we've had, and it's not been good. R-Truth genuinely made the Judgment Day interesting. That and Rhea being good looking is genuinely what made. And in fact, to be fair, JD McGonagall, however you pronounce his surname, right, deserves a lot of credit because he takes an absolute beating every time. Yeah. Anytime anything happens, he takes it and sells everything great. So I actually hope for him when the Judgment Day split up that he gets, I don't know, whether a run at the US title or a run at the ICE, I hope he doesn't have to win it, but I just hope he gets a good enough story that he can, you know, go away. I mean, him against Dominic could be quite interesting because they're kind of similar sizes, and even if that was the turn in the match, or even with Finn, because Finn could put on a great match with anybody. It would just give them strength. I hope they get a good story for him and not just kind of lost in the shuffle when it's, well, obviously because Damien's got the title, Rhea's got the title, Rhea's got Dominic, Dom's got Rhea. So they're all kind of tied together. Mm-hmm. And JD would be the one that's kind of left out. So hopefully we get something for him, you know, on the outs.
We will see. Main event for the evening was announced as a four-way match to determine the number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship. Drew McIntyre versus Bronson Reed versus Jey Uso versus Ricochet. Bronson Reed been in there. Yep, yeah, that's fine. He's looked like a monster recently. Ricochet, I don't know, really know why he was there. Drew makes sense coming off of Mania, of course. And Jey Uso, who had the really bad match and has been rewarded for a chance at a title shot. Okay, sure. Whatever.
Jey's the one that doesn't make sense the most, purely on the basis of what happened at the weekend. Like,
but then I suppose if you look at it as a kayfabe, Jey won his match. Bronson has looked really good. Ricochet looked really good in the tournament as well.
Yeah, and he's that speed and, champion as well. I know it's...
Yeah. So, in that sense, fine. If four guys, that you know, whoever won, it does make you... It's right when you think, well, Babyface is winning this because he's a heel champion. So, it narrows out the field to two anyway. But it's an interesting enough hook for the rest of the night just to see where they go. No word yet as to when this title match is going to be. Don't know if it's going to be Backlash in France next month. Or just on a random Raw.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a promo Rhea Ripley and Dominic backstage where she had a bit of a go at him for basically Andrade turned on you and stuff, and it's getting your house in order, Dom. You need to straighten up and sort things out. So the cracks are still slightly starting to appear in the Judgment Day. And out of nowhere, Liv Morgan attacked Rhea with a chair. This was good.
Yes,
this is what Liv Morgan needed. Vicious,
by the way, yeah.
Michael Cole said that the Liv Morgan Revenge Tour is underway. So we're Love finally that. Now circling back to that story.
Yep. Again, it's just this era. Again, it's just piecing. Might not happen in a week, might not happen in a month, but you know all the dots are getting crossed.
Mm-hmm. Up next, another Raw debut. It's the NXT Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez, now making her debut. She took on and beat Indi Hartwell. Again, it did what it needed to. She's a good heel. She's doing really good work in NXT. She actually faced Natalia, or she had a confrontation with Natalia this week, so that'd be good for her as well. We spoke about Natty on the review show, so that'd be good for her. So that, again, it's the only problem, again, is female wrestlers coming up, that it's quite stacked on the main roster at the moment. You've got a lot of people on the main roster who don't get much now. Look at Chelsea Green. Doesn't. She's got her place as that perennial loser. Indi Hartwell, Candice LeRae, Maxine Dupri, that you got the women on SmackDown as well that are just what are they doing? There's a lot of women just sort of floating around at the moment, kicking their heels. Do you want to bring another one up?
Yeah, no, I know we've got a lot of titles, but I think now more than ever we almost could do a secondary title for the women. You've got
have announced a women's North American Championship in NXT.
Yep.
Now, I think that works there. I don't think you can have a secondary one. I mean, do you have like an Intercontinental one almost in the main roster? Something like that?
Yeah, something of the sort that's on both brands. So you'd have the champion just defending on both somehow. I just feel we've got so much. There's always so many slots the women are going to get on shows still. I know it's hanging, but so you've got the two main titles. You've got the two tag teams, unless you get rid of the tag team titles and only have one set of tag titles, and then have maybe the secondary title on the other show. So at least it would still have, you know, so you're not over diluting. Because there's not enough women tag teams anyway. You're just throwing them together for the sake of getting women on the card. Whereas I'd rather see, you know, proper stories invested, like. Chelsea Green, to be fair, is an MVP every time she's on screen. She's great.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
You could throw her in an angle where any of the women who are coming up, or even somebody like Natalia, you know you're going to get a good story with her and it's going to make sense. And I don't know, you could have, as you say, maybe not the North American title because that's kind of known as the NXT title, but even just a US title or some, you know, something like that for the women. It would need a different name. I don't know what you could call it, but
I think it is telling that there is still only the women's tag team titles, that whereas with the men's there's a Raw and a SmackDown one, the women's just have the one, because there's not enough to have two women's tag team titles.
Well, like, that's it, yeah. So if you just lock that to one brand and then you could keep the women's tag team, so you would just say Raw, because it's a longer show. So let's put the women's tag team on Raw. You could stack more teams together, make teams if you have to, but keep them together for at least a year, you know, so you're building a division. And then you have I don't know what you call it, let's just say Intercontinental for the sake, women's Intercontinental title, and then have that. Because we've got so many really, really, really good women. Mm-hmm. And how many, like, like a Becky, for example. You got Becky trying to like find herself just now. But can you imagine if they announced an Intercontinental title? Becky would have grew up in that era loving wrestling when the Intercontinental title was important.
The workhorse belt.
Which is what a Becky is, which is what a Bayley was as such. I don't know. I just feel it could give more stories because there's only so many main eventers. And if you're not, if Becky's not main eventing, what would she do? Could you really put her in a...
Exactly.
You couldn't have her with Natty, for example. You couldn't put her in just a story with Natty for the sake of building it. If she's not building towards a title, I just don't know why you keep her around, because that seems really mean. But, like, making it credible. Like, you wouldn't put Seth Rollins in just pointless feud. You know, he's always got to be fighting for...
You don't really get non-title women's feuds. Okay, we've got, like, the damage control, like, Jade, Naomi, Bianca stuff, but that was just really for Mania. Like, outside the title pictures, there's no other feuds going on.
That's it, yeah.
But the women are there. The roster's there to do that. But whether it's the lack of belief in these women to draw in the big feuds with no titles involved, I don't know.
I think if you get one more title as well, just think you could... I mean, ultimately, I think we'll lead towards another women's only pay-per-view. And you need another title. You couldn't just have... You need another title, I think, for a good NXT show. Always had like your main title, your secondary title, and your tag title.
Yeah.
Plus two other matches. So if you've got your two main titles, your secondary title, your tag title, and then two or three other matches, that's a great card. And you've got the superstars to do it. You've got Charlotte's going to come back. You've got Bianca just kind of floating in the wilderness. You mentioned it at the review pod that they've built Naomi up into that episode. They've got high hopes on Jade. You've got Rhea. You've got Bayley. You've got Dakota. You've got damage control in general. You've still got Becky. You're bringing up Raquel Rachel from Hingy.
Raquel Rodriguez, is kind of there. You've got Zoe Stark's on Raw, not really doing anything. Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae on Raw. You've got women on SmackDown. It's just, there's a lot of talent there, but nothing for them to do, it seems.
You just need something. I'm a big advocate of, I'd love to see an NXT-type show just for women, just even if it was an hour a week. Just it's a bit different now because they don't have the network, they've Peacock, but like if you're going on to Netflix or something like that or wherever they sell the other, what is wrong with putting an hour show on a week just for women? Like where you can get these guys... Because this becomes the problem. Like we had the great Becky, Charlotte, Sasha... Bayley, obviously the four horsewomen, and the matches they were putting on were elite, but it's because they were performing every week, and they became they were the best things on NXT for a period of time. And yes, we've got great characters, but like people like Chelsea Green and Tiffany Stratton and Jade can only get better by wrestling. So make it a glorified house show on TV where they're getting reps, and just make it that way. You can forget about having a secondary title. That you can just create storylines that hopefully can then build onto Raw and SmackDown.
We will see. Right, up next, a vignette for the much forgotten about it seems Sheamus. Sheamus is coming back, finally. His last match was on the 18th of August, 2023, when he wrestled and lost to Edge in Edge's last match. Wow. And since then, Sheamus has been nowhere to be seen. And now it looks like he's coming back, finally.
Yeah.
don't seem bothered.
Yeah, I don't know. I do enjoy Sheamus, and I like a big meaty match as much as the next person. I just don't know what he can offer in 2024.
I think his match in 2023 and 22, actually, after Clash at the Castle comes to mind, that he's got something that he can be that kind of rugged. Like him, the Drews, the Gunters, they'll just beat the shit out of each other because that's what they grew up. That's what they did. You just you get your stuff in, you make it look good, you make it snug, and it's like after it's like, well, that's all good. We literally bruised each other, but that's the point of it. And Sheamus, I think, has still got that not many people do now. You have your Gunters and your Drews and your Sheamus. That's really it.
Yeah.
I think Sheamus still has something he can offer because he's established. He's a former world champion. He's viewed as that. He's viewed as a top guy that can slot in the upper mid card. He can put it go into a title feud if he needs to, as a face or a heel. I just think it could be a real that could be a real boost for the roster over the coming months, where we're going to be losing some people short term, but gaining him back. That's a big one for me.
He's definitely a good, credible heel, regardless, you know. So that's good when we're in a company full of babyfaces just now. Again, I think we'll find you'll get more babyfaces as well soon, because all good heels turn babyface eventually. I fully believe Logan Paul will become a huge babyface.
That's the one I'm not sure about, you know, because he's such a good heel.
Yeah,
he's
I hope
so
not.
Unlikable.
I hope not. I hope he stays the way he is. But yeah, there is nothing bad for the business with anybody coming back who's good, who loves it, and who will work.
Exactly.
And again, what I want to see more of is giving guys time off. You know, whether they work 3 weeks pay-per-view and then take some time off for a couple of weeks. At least this way, the more there is, we can start rotating guys in and out and giving.
This is a thing that there's going to be a lot more prevalent under Paul Levesque. And he's spoken about it in interviews before about we're going to give guys time off. We're going to give them time to be with their families, to recuperate, to freshen up both physically and also creatively as well. It looks like Seth's taken 4 or 5 weeks off. Becky probably taking some time off. It freshens their character up. It means they don't go stale, but more importantly, these guys and women can recover and can rest and can just be human beings. It's what we need. It's what they need.
100%, yeah. It's what we've always not complained about, but anybody who cares enough is what's said for ages. We don't want these guys working, not on screen. If they want to still work live shows and that's their choice, because they get to have more fun, they get to try stuff, and that's what they can be creative as well with characters and that. So that's fine, but you don't want to see the same people on TV all the time. That's how you get sick of them. That's how that's why Roman back in 2015 got booed, because we didn't want to see him. He was getting thrown down our foot again. We didn't really truly appreciate Cena until even just probably up until like 3-4 years ago, because we always he was just thrown down our face. So yeah, people like Sheamus and even like Dragunov coming up, as you say, can give, you know, like your LA Knights, your Sammys, your Chad Gables, like time off. They don't have to be on screen. They've got plenty there. I mean, you've still got people like Otis and that as well.
I think as well, people like a Sheamus coming back and Dragunov coming up, stuff like that, it lights a fire under the existing people as well, because it's something a bit different. Like around Orton, he can work, he's Kevin Owens, Logan Pauls, blah, blah, but you put him in the ring with a Sheamus, that's going to be a fight. It causes guys to have to go to another level sometimes, because there's not too many guys that wrestle like Sheamus, not too many guys of that brute, tough, I'll beat you up, you beat me up kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the guys that are there now currently haven't worked with a Sheamus before, because there's a few of them. They're going to have to learn now, boy, because Sheamus is coming back and he works hard and he works tough and snug, and you got to stick with him because everyone else does. You got to do it. It's one of those rites of passage things with guys that come up and they work with these bruised, battered old veterans, and that's what Sheamus is now, really.
Sheamus can go. He's fit and you know, he's no giving up on him as well. So yeah, it could be good.
And I think it's encouraging the company's view on him that they're giving him this start of this push to coming back on the Raw after Mania, like one of the biggest viewed Raws of the year. And I think actually this week's Raw set a record for the highest viewership since 2022, I think. So a 2-year high episode. To choose that night to put this first vignette on says a lot about the company's view of Sheamus as well.
Yeah, they've definitely got something in the plans with them as well, because they're not going to do a vignette or anything if they've not got, you know, a story for them to go straight into it. So yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting. Again, let them cook.
Right, up next, New Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn comes out to talk about his win over Gunther, interrupted by Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. This led to Chad Gable running out for the save, which led us to inevitably a tag team match player that Zayn and Gable won. After the match, it was announced via a challenge, accepted challenge, that Sami Zayn will defend the Intercontinental Championship against Chad Gable next week in Montreal. That's going to be a hot crowd.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the problem straight after Mania. Now, it's not a problem as such, but it's a bit harsh on Chad Gable. Yes, he deserves a title shot, but we know he's not going to win it.
Not, I'd be surprised if he wins it 2 weeks after Sammy wins at a Mania, yeah.
And in Montreal, not a chance.
I mean, that'd be a hell of a place to turn heel. If you turn heel to win the belt against Sami Zayn in Montreal, that's...
The only thing I can kind of think, hope, is that we maybe get the Chad Gable heel turn after the match.
Yeah, Sammy wins and Chad's annoyed because... Yeah. I mean, this isn't the old Vince way of if you're in your hometown, you are going to lose. That kind of thing, I think, is gone now. So I think Sammy will probably win because I can't see him dropping the belt 2 weeks after ending Gunther's 2-year streak.
Almost wasted streak. Not waste it, but Gunther built that Intercontinental title up.
Yeah.
So I don't want long-term reigns as much, but you can't just have... That's like Zach
Bryan. It
can't
be over in 2 weeks. It can't. Yeah. unless, of course, Sammy cheats to win, Gable cheats to win, cementing. If they do like a friendly rivalry all the way up to throughout the match, and Chad does something heelish to win, then turns heel fully after, you could probably get away with it then because it built up the Chad Gable heel turn switch in the belt. That could work, and the heat would be insane as well, being in Montreal for Sammy.
Oh, it would be tremendous. Yeah, I'd love it, but. Yeah,
okay, just... up next, squash match time. Chelsea Green was in the ring. She got absolutely punished and buried by Jade Cargill. This did what it had to. Chelsea Green has got this role now where she will talk a good game and then as soon as the bell rings, she loses straight away. It's a shame because I think she's great. Jade has the star power we spoke about on the previous show ad nauseum, and they'll keep working these matches with her because that's right now probably all she can do.
I want Chelsea to lose for like a year, like just keep doing this, and then finally like either win the Rumble or get, because she deserves a title run. I don't know if you watched her stuff in TNA as the Hot Mess, like
very good, very good.
And even in this match though, it was a 1:30 or whatever. But when Jade's got her up for the finisher and she's just, the facials, the screams, she's comedy gold. She's just like, women and men in that locker room could learn a lot from Chelsea. Like, she's, again, I used the word Teflon earlier. Chelsea can do whatever she wants. She's just got that character, that little sniffly, bitchy. She does it all. She's just so good. And
absolutely.
She deserves better than what she's getting. But again, we need people like a Chelsea in these roles to make the company work. You know, you need them. Yeah. So as long as she keeps doing them, we know no sign this. Like, the company will keep employing her and keep her in our prevalent roles. Like, I would rather be in her position than one of the girls who appears on screen once every 6 weeks.
Exactly. That's it. Okay, main event time. Four-way match to crown number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship. Jey Uso versus Ricochet versus Bronson Reed versus Drew McIntyre. As the match went on, you absolutely knew without a shadow of a doubt it was either going to be Drew or Jey that was winning this. I had no reason to think that Ricochet would win this. And if Ricochet's not going to win, I knew for a fact Bronson wasn't going to win. Which is a shame because I think both those guys are really good. But booking this kind of match doesn't give you much hope for certain people. And I think these two suffered with that.
Yeah, I mean, the Bronson Reed one's a bit strange. I'm still unsure why he wasn't at the Australia show. That was a bit weird when it's...
his wife gave birth. She went to labor.
Right, okay.
I saw he tweeted out after the Chamber pay-per-view basically saying, a bit behind the curtain here, but... it's all good. There's nothing wrong. My child was due. Even so, he was meant to face Seth for the World Heavyweight title at Chamber before Seth got his injury. Bronson was getting the slot. So I think, and then once obviously Seth was injured, they were going to put him in the Chamber, but then the stuff issue happened with his wife and his newborn child. So it was okay, we'll take him out, but it's all good. So he's got a place, and you can tell Triple H is protecting him to an extent. And he's a big man that can work. There's always a space for a big man that can work.
Yeah, and I mean, him and Ricochet played their roles perfect in this. You know, they got their spots in. I like Ricochet's, whatever you call it, off the rope, apologising to Samantha just as he's doing it. I don't know. I kind of like those little moments, you know, the kind of peel back the curtain type.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows, everybody's got social media. We know they're in a relationship. You know what I mean? I like little moments like that, and it's great. So they played their role perfect, and obviously, I think even that when you see the four, you know it's only going to be one or two.
Yeah.
Really, because we said it preview and review. Jay, regardless of Jay's stinking out match, he's a star.
He is a star.
And Drew just seems to be getting better and better, which I didn't think this Drew was possible to get.
Tell you, you talk about Samantha Irvin. Her stock has risen dramatically this Mania weekend. Michael Buffer put her over on Twitter.
Oh, like, did he?
The clip, yeah, big time. Oh. The clip of her announcing Cody Rhodes as the winner, which is as heartbreaking as it is listening to. It's even worse when you watch her and you see her like break down, trying to get the words out. My God.
Yeah, it was just perfect. Yeah, it just shows these guys are fans. Like, regardless of getting paid, like, they got into the business because they're fans.
Like, exactly.
You don't do a role like that with that passion without loving the business and loving the guys and girls.
Like, finish the match. Drew is lining up for the Claymore. He's in the corner, counting down. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, CM Punk, that dastardly, rotten scoundrel, grabs Drew's leg, distracts him, allows Jay to hit a spear and the frog splash, and Jey Uso, weirdly, given what happened 2 days earlier at Mania, is the number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it because of Jay, but it's just weird. Again, I think we were speaking off air, obviously. He won, so I guess the record shows that he deserves to be in there, but doesn't really matter how you win, I guess. You win.
I think Jay was fought. It's not a knock on him. He's got himself over, and it's great, and he deserves that chance to show himself as a singles guy. I wonder if Mania was just one of those nights where the story of the Jay versus Jimmy match was probably really, really good in the booking meeting, and it was really, really good when they were talking about it. But the minute it went out there in the ring, it didn't work. And this happens. We've seen it before where matches that should have been absolute classics, just for whatever reason, don't quite get there. Or a match has got an incredible story that you can't wait to see explode in front of you in the ring, doesn't quite translate in the ring than it does in promos. And I think it's just one of those things where both guys are good, the company likes both guys, but they had an off day. Bad day at the office, we'll move on. No one's fault. Is what it is, kind of thing.
I think Jimmy...
And Jay's a good babyface to put Priest against, because you don't want to put Priest against the top line babyface now, because are people going to buy that a Priest can beat, if he wasn't injured, a CM Punk, or if he wasn't going to wear Seth Rollins? Whereas a Jay is just below. Like, he can lose, still look okay, and Damien gets a win that's not over a top guy that people are going to resent, like him winning. So it is really the perfect first feud for Damien Priest as champion.
Because Priest needs to win this, not comfortably, but he needs to look strong in it.
He does. Without Judgment Day interference. He needs to win this clean.
He can't. Well, see, you know what? Unless they're going to split up the Judgment Day right away, I wouldn't mind a Judgment Day interference as such, because then it keeps Jay looking good. But again,
maybe a failed interference, but he still wins. So Jay's got an out that the interference was there, but it didn't work. So Damien still had to win it himself.
Yeah,
and it builds up the split to the Judgment Day. So that could work as a finish to a match.
Yeah, I'd be fine. Like, even if like JD came down and Jay super kicks him off the apron as he's going for his finish, and then, you know, it leads into just something like that, just so they can both, because unless Priest is going to lose the title to Jay, which we highly doubt, he needs to look good in it, because again, he's not looked strong with a briefcase, so let's see a strong.
And they need to keep Jay looking strong, because he's one of their main guys on Raw. And if they're not going to be switching the belts from either Cody or Damien anytime soon, you're going to need top guys that can get that reaction. You don't want to start burying Jay just because he's not in the total picture. You need to keep these guys over and relevant. If you need to go in for an IC title feud or a world title feud for a month, they're ready. So you put them in, the fans accept it, and it works.
I almost wish they gave Ricochet the spot over Jay here, because Jay's already lost a title match, albeit distractions, we get it, and interference for Jimmy. But there's only so many times fans can get behind somebody who keeps losing the main match, regardless of what the outcome.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting how they book that.
To be world champion, realistically.
Again, this is one of these. If we were in a different era, Jay would have had a short run by now, but he unfortunately got over at the time where Roman Reigns was a 1,300-day champion.
That's it,
and Seth Rollins was injured. He unfortunately got over at the absolute worst time to get over. Build up to WrestleMania when one champ's only losing to one person and the other champ is only losing to one person. So unfortunate for Jay, because otherwise, say if this was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, Attitude Era, Jey Uso is getting at least a 2-3-4 week run with that belt.
Yeah, comfortably. He reminds me much of like a Dolph, you know, when Dolph got open.
He'll always be over, but he'll never win. But somehow he still keeps himself relevant and keeps himself popular with the fans, and the fans buy him and they accept him as a top guy. Hopefully they don't ruin it.
Yeah, I can't see it. I have faith regardless. But even the punk stuff is perfect again. And Drew,
I was supposed to see Punk. I didn't think we'd see him. Obviously, he's still, as we said, he's obviously cleared to be physically involved to an extent, if not match ready yet. But I suppose it keeps building up the thing with him and Drew. Obviously, we still don't know what's happening with Drew. I think his contract got extended because of time missed. So I think he's still there for a bit of time. But yeah, it's a case of, are they going to get him in the title picture for Clash at the Castle? You would think he would be, because it's Glasgow. How could you not have Drew McIntyre on the card in Glasgow with a title there? So
it would be very weird if that's the case, because why Scotland? You know what I mean? Unless... Uh-huh. Like, because they don't have many Scottish stars there. You know, it's not like a UFC where they're going to go to an area.
It's not like, oh, we haven't been there for a while. If we've never done a pay-per-view there, we'll give them this. It's like, but was Scotland really crying out, feeling, oh, we get ignored, we get overlooked? You get house shows, you get live events. Okay, you don't get pay-per-views, but then England didn't get a pay-per-view until 2 years ago.
Scotland, again, I've never heard, again, being up here, never really heard anybody clamouring for it.
That's what I mean. So there's got to be a reason why Clash has been put in Scotland. Then you'd have to think
it's
Drew McIntyre.
It's definitely, and I stand by it. I think that's why, yes, he got his moment at Mania, which was fine. But to me, it never made sense, the bad guy getting that moment at that Mania. It was always more for, as soon as they announced it. There's a reason they announced that just before Mania. Everything happens for a reason.
Of course it does. Absolutely.
I think Drew's signed his contract as well. I think it's just loyal.
I think if he hasn't signed it, I think he's told him he will sign it. And I think they're going to drag it out, because I think they know the internet. They love to work.
Absolutely.
The net. And if you can work them by having him not sign yet, and all of the in the know reporters are saying he hasn't signed yet, you build up that anticipation that, oh, yes, you might go. And then you swerve it and you hit it, and he has signed. Here's the shot. And then we're off the race again.
That's it, yep.
Okay, that was all after Mania. I'll be honest, wasn't brilliant. It was better than last year's, without a doubt. But I think once the opening promo finished, it kind of peaked there. The Cena shock was good. I like that. But otherwise, it was a good Raw, but it wasn't quite a Raw after Mania for me.
Yeah, it was a bit meh. I think it was just... It's almost a come down we really needed. Like, the Sunday was so high. I think they couldn't have really topped it unless they went mental with surprises and stuff. I think it was... Had we took out 20 minutes of the promo with Rock and we didn't get as much of the awkwardness, I think it would have just been fine. But it was just a Monday Night Raw, wasn't it? It wasn't really a Raw after Mania. I think SmackDown will actually be better because... The fans and the creative and like even like all those guys must be like mentally exhausted after the weekend that they've just had. I think SmackDown will be better because they've had a few days break and they've had time to breathe and they've let the story settle. And SmackDown realistically is the Cody title show, like realistically. I know it's not.
Cody is announced for this week's SmackDown, so he will be there. And at the moment, obviously until the draft at least, we don't know where Cody's going to sit. So Cody's going to be on every Raw and SmackDown for the next month at least.
Yeah, so I think SmackDown will be really good. So I'm excited to see.
Okay, right. That is us done with our Raw After Mania. We'll be back hopefully over the weekend with a look at SmackDown while we still draw up plans for the rest of what Ring of Honor looks like in the near future. And of course, next on the road for WWE is Backlash, where they're going to France for the first time for a premium live event. Okay, slight change to our outro now. Not just because Ross isn't here. We're now not going to go through all of our social media links individually. I'm not going to make Ross remember the email address and now the TikTok address. I'm now just going to simply say you can find all of our social media links at the brand new linktree.com/ringthebellpod. And on there, you will also find our brand new Teespring store. We have merchandise. We have shirts. We have hoodies in a variety of colors and sizes. And they ship worldwide. And there will be, within the next couple of days, I am a Ross Bell guy shirt coming to the store. So we will put that out when that is available. But yeah, go on there on linktree.com/ringthebellpod. All of ours on there, all the social medias. We're on YouTube now, just getting that built up. We've got the Apple Podcast link, the Spotify link. It's all on there. So go check it out. Okay, right. Let's go off into the sunset to be back in a few days for the next, for the last part, really, I guess, of WrestleMania week. Would you count SmackDown as the end of WrestleMania week?
Yeah, the Monday after is kind of like the start of the new season, isn't it? This is kind of like the season finales, really.
Yeah.
That's the way I've always looked at WrestleMania as the end of a season. And, yes. and the Raw and SmackDown after it, I don't expect anything to new start as such because they're just the fallout really of what's happened. So yeah, I think come Monday it's a fresh start. So let's finish off WrestleMania season well, bang.
Here we go. Right. So Ali, thank you for stepping in and more than ably taking Ross's place. He's gonna have to fight to get back in now. But for a firm welcome back to the show after, well, we've been away, you've been away, but we're back now and we're going to say it one more time. Damn it. We love professional wrestling.
It's the best. You can't beat it.
It's back and it's beautiful. Okay. This has been Ring the Bell. I've been Andrew.
I've been Ali. Andrew.
Yes.
Ring that bell.